Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Henry Ford Community College gift cards are a great way to show your support for someone in your life who is seeking the skills necessary to fulfill their dreams. Available in values from $10 to $100, gift cards can be used towards payment of tuition, purchasing books and supplies, lab fees, or even a lunch at Skylight Cafe. Gift cards can be purchased at the campus bookstore or online at collegestore.hfcc.edu. College gift cards. What better way to encourage a student in your life than with an investment in their future?
Fall registration for Henry Ford Community College is underway, with a wide variety of programs and degree options to choose from. Let HFCC guide you on your way to higher education. For more information, contact the Office of Registration and Records by calling 313-845-6403 or online at hfcc.edu.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Amanda Butler. She is a life navigator, and she assists people, helping them to transform and empower their lives. Good afternoon, Amanda. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mike?
I'm great, too, and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Me too.
Right. Well, I know you were a guest on the show many years ago.
Yeah.
We won't consider how much. I think it was like at least a good, probably about four or five now.
Right, you know? Right.
But also, Amanda was one of our first speakers at our very first Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. So thank you for that many years later.
Yep.
But thanks for doing that
thank
for
you.
Us.
Thank you. Well, hey, I'm appreciative of the opportunities that you always give me. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things I know that you want to talk about this evening is codependency. What is your definition of codependency?
Well, first of all, Mike, 99.99% of the people out there are either codependent or have been codependent, or they're in codependent relationships or have been in codependent relationships. So the simplest definition of codependency is that you're living someone else's life instead of your own. And it can show up in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. And how does that show up?
So let's say that you are living in the shoulds of life. And the shoulds are what you think you should do based on other people's opinions or what other people are telling you to do or not to do. It can also be where you're not expressing who you truly are, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, because out of fear of how they're going to react, or you know, what are they going to think about you or not. And one of the final things of that is also, are you looking for love in all the wrong places, just like the song says?
Yes, right.
Okay. And in that, you're looking for love, acceptance, approval, and validation from other people instead of from within yourself.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's self-acceptance. Is that what the problem is with most people?
It's self-acceptance and it's self-love. And it's loving all parts of yourself. It's loving the goods, the bads, the uglies. And it's loving, like, okay, even if you, quote, made a mistake or failed at something, still loving yourself for that. It's loving yourself if you have a lot of weight on you or not a lot of weight. It's loving yourself if you've said something or did something that you felt like, oh, wish I wouldn't have done that. Because all that is just opportunities to learn, opportunities to possibly heal, or opportunities to grow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the important thing is people should always try to grow, correct?
Well, I think, you know, if you're not growing, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a good option, but I know that happens. It happens to the best of us sometimes.
Right. I mean, basically, we're always growing, you know, whether we want to or not. We're always changing whether we want to or not. Life isn't stagnant because, remember, everything's energy. Mm-hmm. We're energy. Life is energy. Our thoughts, our beliefs, our feelings are energy. So none of that's stagnant. And right. So we're always growing. We're always learning. We're always expanding. Sometimes it takes us a little longer to learn something that we need to learn. Other times it's a shorter.
Right. Well, it gets back to part of the introduction that I gave for you, and that is you help transform people's lives. How do you try to do that?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I do with people one-on-one is if they want to have an initial what I call diamond life assessment, and what that is assessing what works in your life, what doesn't work in your life. What do you like, what you don't like? Many people, especially when you're really steeped in codependency, you don't know that. Mm-hmm. So I try to help them find out what that is for themselves, and also look at the energetic pattern that keeps on showing up in their life. Is it the same situations, the same type of people, the same circumstances that always occur? And it may not be something that they're happy with, but it keeps on happening.
Right. Well, the fact they may not be happy about it, but they're used to it.
Right.
And that they just fall into a certain role, and it's what they know.
It's what they know, and it. I thought you were going to say they fall into a certain rut, because that.
Oh, well, that too.
Because it ends up feeling like a rut.
Right.
You know, like you do the same old thing, and you have the same type of people that keep showing up, and you get the same results. But, you know, that definition of insanity, if you do the same thing and expect different results, that is the definition of insanity.
That does drive people insane. You're right. Now, how do you try to teach people not to be afraid? Because I think that's one of the big things. People are afraid of change. It's not that they don't want to change, but they're afraid of it. How do you overcome that with someone?
That, you know what? That's a really good piece right there, because a lot of people are afraid of the unknown.
Right.
So they're afraid to create that change because they don't know what's on the opposite side, you know, like they don't know what's behind the curtain, so to speak. And so they stay where they are because they're familiar with it. But now it's probably even uncomfortable, because a lot of times what happens is you keep on doing the same thing, but now it intensifies, it magnifies the problem over and over again. And now it's not comfortable. So the fear of the unknown is what stops people a lot of times. So one of the ways, to go back to your question, is one of the ways to assist them with that is having them learn how to trust themselves. So trust what's unfolding for them. Trust that the universe or God or however you want to put that has their back. Trust that there's other possibilities out there. And so I show them different ways of how to do that, to look at that, things that they haven't perceived as positive things in their lives, especially when it gets to, you know, when things haven't worked out or there's a mistake or they feel like they failed. I shift it for them. I show them a different perception of it to look at, well, what did you learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
Like from that relationship that didn't work out, did you learn that, you know, you want more in a relationship, that maybe you want open and honest communication? Did you learn how to talk more or how to express yourself more? Or did you learn that you don't know how to do that? Did you learn that you want to be more respected or honor of yourself and with another? So we start like evaluating that and breaking it down so that they can see all the different components.
Mm-hmm. But do you try to put a positive spin on it? Like you said, you try to point out what a person might have learned. So you try to put a positive spin and say, well, okay, as a result of this, you learned not to be with this type of person or not to enter into this type of situation again?
Right, yeah. You take the experience and you go, okay, from this you learned that you do not want to attract, let's say, an abusive person, someone that maybe verbally or emotionally abused you,
mm-hmm.
or wasn't emotionally available. What you do want is someone that's emotionally available, someone that honors you, respects you. But you also have to be that within yourself, because remember, everything's energy and there's energetic patterning. So if you don't honor and respect yourself, you can't expect another to honor and respect
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
And a lot of that gets tied back into these codependent behaviors and traits, and that they're looking to feel good from the outside instead of from the inside. So we really work on how to feel good on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there,
right.
Now what do you want to attract? Do you honor and respect yourself? Do you love yourself? So most of the time I'm working with people on helping them fall in love with themselves again.
Mm-hmm.
Or for the first time ever.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I know that's not always easy.
No, but if you can't fall in love with yourself, then how are you going to fall in love
right.
with another?
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, I've read some of the material that you've had on your website, and basically you're saying that what you do and the way you act is mirrored back to you in what goes on in your life. You're constantly attracting the same negative energies or whatever it is, because that's what you're putting out to the universe. Is that correct?
Correct. You're vibrating that way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you don't accept and love yourself, and you have all this judgment about yourself and criticism and a lot of negative self-talk. And so what you attract in is a person that does the same with you, maybe has a lot of judgments about you, doesn't really, you don't know if they love you or not. But they also probably judge and don't really love themselves either and have a lot of negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like attracts a like a lot of times, right?
Right. Right.
So that's an opportunity to learn, like, oh, well, how can I love myself? How can I be nice, kind to myself? How can I have compassion with myself? And a lot of my clients, I'm working with them just on that, is learning how to be compassionate with themselves,
mm-hmm.
and learning how to be kind, learning how to be gentle, learning how to nurture themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because either they weren't taught to do that, or they were taught that that was selfish to do. Or they just didn't have the conditioning and programming. And the thing about codependency is that it's not anyone's fault. You know, it's not to blame like your parents or society or other people for it. It is just the nature of the beast, so to speak, in living life on this planet. It's what's been there. It's mm-hmm. the conditioning and programming that's been there. But now we are actually breaking out of that, you know, and that's been going on for, you know, 20, 30 years in starting to shift that energy into more interdependent energy. You know, think about how business has all been about dog-eat-dog, competitive, one-upmanship. Now business has shifted into cooperation, collaboration, co-creation. And so there's definitely an energy shift or a consciousness shift that's occurring right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm sure one of the things you try to teach people is how to forgive themselves, correct? Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy.
Absolutely. And, you know, people try to maybe forgive others when they haven't forgiven themselves. And again, if you can't forgive yourself, how can you forgive others?
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness isn't about condoning an action. It's just about accepting an action. And excuse me, Colorado is a great example of that, what occurred a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the man that did the shooting had to be in so much pain, so much anguish on some level that he acted out in that way. Was it horrific? Was it something that was, you know, terrible that happened? Yes, it absolutely was. However, you do have to feel the grief, the anger, the upset around that. But at some point, you have to let it go and forgive him and forgive what occurred.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep on holding on to the anger or the grief, you'll never move on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the minute that I heard about that, I started sending out a tool that I teach and we actually give away for free called the Universal L.
Mm-hmm.
And the Universal L is universal love and co-creation. I didn't just send it to the people that were affected from the shooting, you know, the ones that died or the ones that were wounded or the families. I also sent it to him
mm-hmm.
because he is a being just like the rest of us, but this man was in so much pain that he did this. I mean, something was definitely askew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, right. Well, I have heard of one or two of the people that were involved with that shooting. There were actually people that were shot. Have forgiven them already,
yep.
I think that's why it's pretty amazing, because obviously it's easy to blame him for doing something, like you said, horrific, and as many people do, and it will take some time definitely to get over that, I would imagine.
Right, right.
You know.
But this is to where we end up putting ourselves on the crucifixion, so to speak, and we keep on crucifying ourselves about something, and we don't let it go, and we don't forgive ourselves. And I've seen that with clients, definitely, you know, in places where maybe their relationships didn't work out or a job didn't work out or they tried something and they failed or whatever it is. But they don't let it go, and they don't forgive themselves. And if you don't forgive yourself, you cannot move into the new. You will stay in the old energy.
Right. Briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Amanda Butler. She is a life navigator assisting people to transform and empower their lives. Now, something that you mentioned a little bit earlier I want to talk about now is that people have a tendency to blame things outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would imagine for most people, including myself and for many others, it's hard sometimes to accept the truth and say, well, maybe I am the cause. You know, it's easy to blame your parents, like you said, or some, some event that might have transpired that would set you up for a certain situation. How do you combat that?
So blaming again is a component of codependency. And when we blame, when we project it to the outside, we're not owning our part of it. We co-create everything in our life, everything. So when we co-create that, there's something that we're responsible for. And most people, or not most, but there's people that don't want to take responsibility for what they co-created. Because if they do, they may have to admit that, oh, I was wrong. I did something, you know, not great. I made a mistake. I failed. And they don't want to own that. But the ironic part of it, it's already your responsibility. It's already yours. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to recognize it or not, that's up to you. But if you sweep it under the rug, it's going to stay there. Because going back to everything's energy, that energetic is still going to be there. So it's going to keep on rearing its kind of ugly head until you deal with whatever you have to deal with. Like, if you're married, you could blame your spouse for all the woes in your life. And, you know, she nags me, or he's not very nice, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever it is. But if you could keep on going, you know, that ping pong ball back and forth, you know, blaming each other, pointing the finger. Remember, when you point a finger, three are pointing back.
Okay, yeah. Well, I never thought of it like that, but yes, you are correct. So I'll remember that next time I point at somebody.
Yeah, and you just go, oh.
Yeah, oops, yeah, stop that.
So three are pointing back. But it's more that fear of that. If I do claim responsibility, then people think it means something about them, like they're a bad person.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything about you except that you made a mistake, or you did something that you regret, or something that you would like to change in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's something that's easy to do also. You know, don't take responsibility for yourself. I know I haven't for years, so, you know. And I'm going to keep on doing it. No, I mean, I realize that you do have to be responsible for yourself and in turn for your actions. Because like you said, if you ignore things and you just sweep things under the rug, things will fester after a while.
Absolutely.
And just like you pointed out, the gunman in Colorado, something will just explode after a while. You
right.
can't keep doing that. You have to let it out some way. Hopefully it's something that is a constructive thing.
Right, and that's a great way of putting it. It builds up to the point, if you don't let it out in a healthy way or are expressing yourself in a healthy way, it's going to build up, and then there's going to be an explosion. And typically that's you vomiting out on somebody, you know, blaming them.
Literally or vomiting, or maybe sometimes anyway, I don't know.
And projecting, projecting blame or anger on the other person when it's always been about you not dealing with what's going on within you, not dealing with your emotions, not dealing with what you're thinking and feeling and not expressing it. And a lot of people are afraid of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And there's healthy ways of being angry, but you have to acknowledge that you're angry, express it in a healthy way, and not project upon somebody my term is vomit on somebody,
yeah, okay, yeah.
projectile on somebody. And when you do that, if you're doing that, you literally end up tearing the other person down. You are diminishing them, and it's just so destructive. So it's really owning your piece of it. If you have something that happened in a relationship or in a situation, you don't like it, then what is it that you did? What's your part of it? How did you co-create it? And then from there, you can deal with it yourself. Or deal with your part of it. So one of the pieces that I show people is, if you're reactive, then it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in response, then it's theirs. So let's say someone says something to you, blah, 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 right? And you get mad. You take it personally or whatever. Then it's all yours because you're being reactive. Even if that person said something very negative towards you or about you, if you're not in reaction, you're in response, and you realize that person must be in a lot of pain for them to say something like that, then you know you're good. But if you're reactive, take it personally, or you know, take it on, or have to justify your position or defend your position, then it's all on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that respect, If I were to insult you right now, how would you deal with that? What would your reaction be? I mean, you say you don't want to get angry, but how would you diffuse that situation if I said something that was not pleasant for you to hear, and you normally a person might get upset at that?
It's like a Tai Chi movement. So in Tai Chi, you like let the energy pass by. Instead of in maybe another movement, you're going to forcefully defend against it. But in Tai Chi, you just let it move by because I'm really confident in who I am. I love myself. I'm very accepting of myself. I know I have some things that maybe I want to change or do differently. But I don't let that then erode my self-esteem, my confidence, my love for myself. So if you say something insulting to me, I can say to you that I can say it in a really neutral tone that, you know what, that doesn't really work for me. You talking to me that way. And usually it won't hit me in the way that it used to. When I understand the one reasons why I'm a specialist in codependency is I've been codependent, right?
Right.
And I remember recognizing that in 1986. It was when I understood what codependency was and how it was running my life, I really didn't know how I was going to get out of it because it's like I didn't love myself. I definitely had a lot of judgments about myself and I wore a mask, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And if that mask slipped, someone might see who's behind that. And there was a lot of fear about that because from the outside, everyone saw this really, you know, powerful, good-looking, you know, well put together person.
Right.
But on the inside, I was like a scared little girl, worried about what people would think about me and how they, what were they feeling, what were they thinking, and kept on being the people pleaser and tried to figure out what others wanted so that I could be accepted and I would be loved,
mm-hmm.
because on the inside I didn't feel lovable. And it's not, again, it's not anything that my parents did or anything that, it was just things that happened throughout life that brought up old experiences. And, you know, for those that believe in past lives, it triggered some past life things. And so it was just things for me to address this lifetime and heal this lifetime. But when I really allowed myself to acknowledge who I was, yes, there were things I wanted to change. I didn't like certain parts of me, but I learned to love those parts of me. And as I learned to love those parts of me, I loved more me. And so it didn't matter what other people thought or what they said. I quit taking things personally. I quit making assumptions about what other people were saying and doing.
Mm-hmm. You just decided to be you, in essence.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I decided I was going to live true to myself because I lived in the world of shoulds for so long, and the world of people-pleasing, the world of what were other people thinking, that I lost me. Mm-hmm. I lost my own identity. I lost my own passion, my creativity. I didn't know what I liked anymore. I loved that whole scene in Runaway Bride when she doesn't know what kind of eggs she likes because every man that she's with, now she likes their type of eggs. So, you know, one guy was Eggs Benedict, the next guy was scrambled eggs, the next guy was fried eggs. So she would change what she liked in eggs every time she changed a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it really came down to it, she had to learn to find out what kind of eggs she liked.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is,
right.
It's a great example of getting out of codependency.
Okay. So that's the key to life. You got to find out what kind of eggs you like. Okay. Well, that sums it up. Thanks for being on the show. No, that's interesting how you kind of tie that together. But what I want to know is how long did you work on yourself to really get to the point where you felt you loved yourself? Was it a matter of years, days, months? What was it?
It was a matter of years. When because initially I was doing, healing work and psychotherapy and trying to really figure out what was making me tick and not tick. And until I discovered energy healing, nothing really shifted. I was aware of the problems, but I didn't know what to do about the problems. You know, talking about it, going it over and over, being aware of it didn't resolve it for me. And that's what I find with my clients too. It's when I learned and when I started experiencing energetic healing, that's when everything started shifting. And it's also when I was able to get out of the codependent patterns, because I was able to resolve those patterns at an energetic level, which means that you're resolving it in your, quote, cellular memory, which resolves it then, like all your thoughts, your beliefs, your feelings, everything changes because of that. And then from there, your decisions change, your habits change, your behaviors change, thus your results change. So when I really started practicing that, learning about that, and then developed the system that I now teach, which is the Diamond Co-Creative System, once I did that, everything shifted.
So everything builds upon itself. When you start making better decisions, you find yourself making even more decisions that are better for you and your situation, and it just improves and spirals upward from there.
Exactly right. And here's one of the other things. In codependency, you tend to be wishy-washy in decisions, or can't make a decision, or keep on doubting your decisions. But as you learn to trust yourself, then those new beliefs, those new thoughts, those that new trusting of yourself comes into play, and it builds on each other. So over time, it just built and built for me that I learned how to trust myself more, love myself more, accept myself more. And when I'm working with clients, that's exactly the process that we end up going through. And, you know, where they didn't feel vibrant before, now they feel vibrant. Where they didn't know what their passion was, now they feel passionate. Where they didn't know who they were or what they liked, now they do. If they didn't know, like, what their purpose was, now they do. So, and it's an amazing process to watch. On the website, there's a segment called Real Life Stories with Real Life Changes. And it's actually the clients have written testimonials about the shifts in their lives, like what they, before they started and now. And understand those shifts happen because of the energetic repatterning that they did. And really, in the energetic repatterning, built that love, built that trust, built that faith, built that hope in themselves.
Right. Yeah, I read some of those testimonials, and it's just what you said. You appear one way on the outside, but on the inside, you're a totally different person, and yet the world doesn't seem to realize that, but you know what the truth is and that you're not really fooling anybody, or at least that's what you think.
Right. When you tend to hide out. And I've had clients say that, like, I know I'm hiding out. I'm hiding from others. I'm hiding out from myself. And because they're not being the truth of who they are, they're not allowing people to see them. Because if they see them, then they'll really know them.
Right.
And, then they'll know those good, bads, and uglies. And I only want them to see the good parts of me.
Right.
And the ironic part is all of us have very similar fears, very similar issues. And when you start talking about it and start revealing, oh, I've got this and I've got that, oh, I feel that way too. Or, oh, yeah, that always is an issue for me, you know. And when they start looking at that and realizing everyone's basically the same, you know, we may have a different story, but it's primarily the same issues. You know, like, for instance, fear of success or fear of failure or fear of love. Those are very similar patterns or very similar issues for people.
Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Amanda Butler. She is a life navigator assisting people to transform and empower their lives. Now, getting back to some of the things you just said, I also think that people are afraid to be themselves and to let themselves know what it is they want and how to go about it, because conflict will possibly enter into a situation and people want to avoid conflict. How do you get past that?
Well, anything that you resist persists. So if you're trying to resist or avoid conflict or avoid changes, then that's going to keep being a problem for you. So part of it is understanding that as you change, other things will change, including your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing. You know, maybe you're in relationships that don't really work for you,
right?
That are very toxic for you or keep you down or keep you small. And so allowing yourself to let those go and trust that you're being led to a whole bigger perspective and bigger picture is key. And part of that is to build that trust again within yourself, so that you go, okay, right, this relationship may shift.
Mm-hmm, right.
I may even lose this relationship.
Right.
And I've seen this especially like with clients, especially with women, because women tend to be the way showers, if you will. They're the ones that will come in and start doing the work. And if they're married or with a significant other and they realize, oh, this relationship isn't really working, and now they're starting to go back home and, you know, kind of stir the pot, so to speak. And they may be fearful of the conflict, but most times they're so tired of being sick and tired,
mm-hmm,
that they're willing to have the change. And so there is a willingness piece and a commitment piece that you make to yourself. And regardless of what the outcomes are going to be. But if you try to resist that there's going to be a conflict or try to resist that there's going to be a change in the relationship, all that's going to occur is that will keep happening.
Mm-hmm. So you advise people that things may change in a way that they don't always expect them to?
Right. But more than likely, I'll go back to the 99.99%.
Okay.
There's a higher order and potential for them that they didn't even see. I had a client in this week, and she finally acknowledged, like, she's been looking for a house here to buy. And, you know, she goes back and forth. And we finally got to the truth yesterday. She doesn't want to live here. So that's why she keeps on having problems looking for houses, because
mm-hmm,
that's not where her heart is. And for her to finally acknowledge that, to be in the truth of that, now gives her the freedom to move where she wants to move.
Right. Well, I would imagine, too, once people realize those truths, it's like, well, just a whole new vista has opened up for them. Like, they feel they can breathe for the first time in years.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, wow, that is it. Why didn't I see that before?
Right.
So that's very encouraging and enlightening for them, correct?
It's encouraging, it's enlightening, and one of the pieces that I support people in is don't go back to, well, why didn't I see that before? You weren't ready to see it before.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't ready to close that door so that the new doors could open. So it's not a, like, you know, I'm such an idiot, I didn't see this before, negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm now ready to see this. I'm ready,
right,
to go forth. I'm ready to have the freedom in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've noticed in working with clients for over the last 10 years is they may create that freedom,
mm-hmm,
but now they're fearful of, well, what do I create? Like, where do I go?
Right, right.
And so there's sometimes even more fear of, I've got a blank canvas. Now what do I do with it?
Right.
But because they're not used to trusting themselves and they're not used to checking in with themselves, because in codependency, you're checking in with everyone else. Like, what do I need to do next? When you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you're not checking in with others. You're not getting their approval. You're looking for your own guidance within you. You're looking for what's true for you, and you're feeling that. So,
So it's almost like just having the fear of the unknown, because you don't know what the future holds. It's one thing to live in the past and deal with the situations you have had in the past. It's a whole new ball game when you see the future and see these things that are all possibilities for you. That, too, can be rather frightening, correct?
Right, right. I had a couple that we were working with them on their codependent issues. Each of them had definitely some severe codependent traits. And then they were fighting like cats and dogs between each other and blaming, and, you know, it was just kind of a mess. And as we unraveled that, as we unraveled each of their woundedness and each of their codependent pieces, what happened was they learned how to create something new. But then the fear came in with, oh, okay, now we've healed this. How do we do this without that? Like, how do we create something new when the only way that we've created before is based on fear? Because codependency is all based on fear. Interdependency is based on love and freedom. So when you have that, when you're not when you're so used to being a victim to life or circumstances or to others, and now you have the freedom to be the co-creator that you are, that can be a very scary proposition. But if you just take one step at a time and start building, you've changed the foundation of fear, which was codependency, to a foundation of love. And now it's just like one brick at a time, like building a house, one brick at a time, building up more of that confidence, that love, that empowerment, that trust, that nurturance within yourself. And that the more that you do that, the more that you can co-create that future.
So you help your clients with, again, it's one thing to go from one situation to another, but like you said, it's getting from point A to point B. It's actually, you know, paving the road, putting the steps in, whatever you want to call it. That's the difficult part, and I'm sure that's what you really help your clients do, right? I mean, it's one thing to have goals in mind. It's a whole different thing to actually go step by step to make sure that you get to that place.
Absolutely, because, you know, you start at point A to go to the end point Z. You got to go B, C, D, E, F, G to get there.
No shortcuts, right?
There really isn't any shortcuts. Mm-hmm. You know, people try to, you know, try to do that. But remember, everything's energy. So energy builds upon energy. So it builds upon a momentum. And so if something's out of alignment, so let's say you're going down that road and you hit a roadblock or a detour, all that's showing you is there's an adjustment to make. So I hear about people like, oh, I want to, you know, meet the man of my dream or the woman of my dream, and I've got my list and so on. They get in a relationship and they're like, this is the one, and then they realize it's not. But then when they really look at their list and look at what's there, they realize, oh, this piece doesn't really work for me, you know, or, you know, he or she really didn't have this piece. They may have said they did, but really when it came down to reality, they didn't. So there was an energetic out of alignment there, right? So it's just learning what's the alignment, what isn't, and then coming into that alignment. Like, manifestations can't occur if there's out of alignment. And that's why we go back to what's the energetic patterns of your thoughts, of your beliefs, of your feelings. If you don't feel worthy of love, you can't attract love. You'll attract people that won't love you, or that are not available, or that will abuse you, or that will not respect you. You will attract that instead of feeling loved. But if you feel love, if you're lovable, if you feel lovable, then you're going to attract someone that will just love and adore you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hopefully, anyway. But I would imagine once you start, too, and it may be slow at first, but as you go along the way, sometimes things pick up, and before you know it, you're getting caught up in doing the right things, and it probably takes a lot less time than people initially think it's going to take to get to their goal.
Absolutely. When you're aligned with you, when you're connected with you, things happen, quote, magically. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a synchronicity, there's a synergy that occurs. It's just like when you called me about today's show, you know, I said, oh, I've just been recently listening to you because I've put our last show is on the website. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how he's doing, da-da-da-da. And, magically you
contacted you.
Right. Yeah. So it's those type of things when you're aligned and when you're putting it out to the universe, what your desire is, and you're aligned with your desire energetically, and that means your thoughts are aligned with it, you believe in it, you believe in yourself, you believe in the desire, and you feel it, you have to feel it, and when you feel it, then it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, there may be challenges that occur, roadblocks or detours, but those are just to refine whatever needs to be refined. It doesn't mean a not, doesn't mean don't do it. It just means, oh, there's something that needs to be refined in this.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about the singers, like on American Idol, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love watching that show.
Okay, I've never watched it.
I know.
But anyway.
But see, I'm a sap with, you know, someone really following their dreams and doing whatever it takes to do. And, you know, these kids on those show on that show have done that. They have believed in themselves, believed in their singing for years and years and years. So all of a sudden they're not the American Idol, but they now are on the show, they're the top 10, they've reached a pinnacle in their career that's going to change them forever, right?
Right.
Was it an overnight success? No, it was a building of energy as it went on, you know? So some of those kids were 3 years old when they started singing. Now they're 16, 13 years later, all of a sudden they're this big star. But that didn't happen overnight. It built the energy brick by brick.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, sometimes it can just be a challenge for a person to get up enough nerve to audition for a show like that. You know, I mean, that's an accomplishment. Sometimes people are so afraid that, like you said, a failure or whatever the case might be, that they won't even try something. But at least they get to the point where they're willing to try something. That's an improvement.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's one step, right? Mm-hmm. That's one brick.
Right, right.
And so when we keep doing that, when we keep believing in ourselves and keep aligning with ourselves, then that's what occurs.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you just build from there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it may not end up looking like what you thought it was going to look like, but if you're really open to whatever the fullest potential is, the universe is always going to deliver that for you.
Right. Right. Again, you have to be open to whatever unfolds, it will unfold the way it's supposed to.
Right. I mean, think about the people that have the list for their beloveds, okay? And, oh, I want it tall, dark, and handsome, and then they get someone that's short, you know, blonde hair and blue-eyed instead, right? But they end up having this revelation of, but this is the person I want to be with.
Right.
If they're open to allowing the universe, yes, this is my preference, but universe, I also give it to you to help me manifest that, then that's what occurs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned earlier reincarnation. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that plays a part in a person's progress, in that obviously they're here to learn certain lessons, but they realize a change is needed, and that for whatever, better or worse, they've had to go through the experiences they have had to get to the point where even if they come to you or whatever the case may be, they know they have to change and progress from there.
Right. So, you know, we're always at choice, right? We have free will here. But if you want to keep on doing the same thing, you will get the same results. I had said something about past lives earlier. Not everyone believes in that. And, you know, I honor wherever anyone's at with that. But one of the things that we have people consider is that, let's say you meet somebody and you're instantly attracted to them, and or you instantly feel like you know them. And really when it comes down to it, it may be somebody that you've known before, mm-hmm. or the right. energy before in another lifetime. And I've seen that happen over and over again. And it can also be the opposite. You're instantly repelled, you know?
Yeah, it works both ways.
So let's say somebody has had a difficult time with love in other lifetimes where they've lost love, there's been unrequited love, and so on. So they have this pattern of fear of love. So they have an equation, love equals pain or love equals loss. So they come into this lifetime with that energetic pattern, and it's contained in what we call the adamantine particles. And people can find out more on the website about that because I talk about it. But what happens with you hold that energy, that pattern, and that keeps on bleeding through every single experience that you have in this lifetime until you resolve it. And then how it shows up is maybe that it can show up, let's say, as a child. You know, you don't feel like your parents love you, or you lose a parent, or something happens that way. Oh, now that triggers, that reactivates that memory. Or as you grow older and you become involved with somebody on an intimate level, or even with friends or whatever, and people let you down or people leave or whatever. So it still has a continued energy pattern of love equals loss. When you heal the energetic pattern of that, of love equals loss, and totally complete it, you will not keep on recreating the same type of circumstances or relationships. But you have to complete it, repattern it, and go back to something that you said earlier. Also, there has to be a forgiveness process that occurs. That completes that dynamic. And how you know that it's complete is that you don't keep on creating the same people or the same circumstances. But if you don't, it will keep intensifying until it's almost like, you know, you got to hit your head against the wall to go, oh, maybe I should change something here.
Yeah, right. Something's not working.
So when I work with clients that don't necessarily believe in past lives, it doesn't matter. We're just working with energy. We're working with the energy pattern of love equals loss. And so we work with how, you know, that release process, forgiveness, and then repatterning it back into love equals joy or love equals whatever they want it to equal.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I am your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Amanda Butler. She is a life navigator assisting people to transform and empower their lives. Getting back to something you said a little bit earlier, sometimes people have a preconceived idea of how a situation should turn out or how it would work best for them. But like you said, you have to be open in that for their own best good, it will work out the way it's supposed to. And even though it may not be the way they originally thought, it is still for their own best good.
Right. And that's a hard pill for people to swallow, mm-hmm. Because they're so used to being in control and controlling outcomes and controlling people and results. And that's part of codependency, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can let go of control, when you can relinquish control and be in allowance, then what can occur is even more than you can even conceive of. Because what happens is we live in a box, so to speak. You know, we have limited perception of what could be possible. However, the universe has this unlimited perception, right? It's infinite possibilities and probabilities. If we can allow for those infinite possibilities and probabilities, if we can allow ourselves to let go and just be guided, when you're connected and you feel, you listen to your intuition, you listen to guidance within you from source, however you do that for yourself, great way to do that is through meditation and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, then more comes to you and ideas come to you. People come to you. You attract things, people, circumstances, events that open up more than what you ever could imagine. So when that occurs, people, you know, think, oh, it's a miracle. It's magical. No, really, it's our normal state of being.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're trying to do is tap back into that normal state of being.
Mm-hmm. So you encourage your clients to meditate?
Absolutely.
Is that a daily thing?
Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what I say to them, if you can start every morning out with at least a 10-minute meditation, and there's so many different ways to meditate.
Right, yes.
So, like, I have a couple guided meditations on the website that people can download for free. One's called a connection and grounding meditation. It's really about just getting connected with you, grounding yourself, and then going forth throughout the day. What happens is with that is that you are managing your energy. You're connecting to you. You're allowing yourself to be fine-tuned so that you can be sensitive to understanding what's going on within you and around you. And when you meditate, it allows for yourself to receive ideas, inspirations, energy, love, acceptance. It just gets you more connected.
Mm-hmm.
Again, more connected within yourself and with source.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, things become so much easier. So if you feel yourself getting really out of sorts, like throughout the day, or really aggravated or frustrated, or just like you feel disoriented, meditation is a perfect way of reversing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be just 5 minutes of just breathing.
Right.
Closing your eyes, breathing, allowing yourself just to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a world of doingness. And so when you can incorporate beingness, doingness and beingness, now you've got a perfect balance of how to co-create. And in that co-creative spirit, then what happens is there's a yin and a yang that occurs with that. So sometimes we need to be quiet so then we know what actions to take.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you get more done. You get more done, it's quicker, it's easier when you have that alignment. So I talk with my clients about, you know, how we clean our teeth, right? We brush our teeth every day. So we have a toothbrush and toothpaste, and we do that every day. Well, meditation is your toothbrush on your energy. So when you allow yourself just to be, You're brushing your teeth, so to speak. You're brushing your energy to just be connected and to be grounded.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it gets back to something you said, too. I think that when you do meditate, you open yourself up for different avenues of action, or you might surprise yourself with things that you come up with, like, oh, I didn't even think about trying this or that.
Right.
Again, leading to your whatever ultimate goal it is you want, it will lead you in the correct our direction.
Absolutely. And like you said, it all of a sudden you go, oh, I didn't even think about that. You have a different perception because the vision has opened up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the vision opens up, then you go, oh, okay, I see how that could work. Or, yeah, I don't think I want to go down that pathway. If I do, not so good. So,
right.
So really it really allows you to get connected to your feelings and part of the difficulty in society and especially with codependency has been that you haven't been connected to your feelings, and feelings are your guidance system. Emotions tell you the energy and motion within you and around you.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can people get in touch with you if they so desire?
They can go to our website. It's called CoCreateYourSuccess.com. So CoCreateYourSuccess.com. Or my direct number is 248-761-9568. Again, 248-761-9568. And on the website, there's a lot of free resources. Go under Success Tools. There's assessments to take. There's a codependency assessment. Mm-hmm. It's a great assessment. Once you take it, you'll get results and what those results mean. There's a personal assessment. There's a belief survey. There's meditations that you can download for free. Mm-hmm. I talked earlier about the Universal L. That's a great, simple tool that you can use with yourself, with others, with the planet. We give that away for free. It's an ebook, a guided meditation, and recorded teachings about it. And then, of course, we have webinars and workshops that are coming up, and we have a community called Diamond Co-Creator Community. So people can join that for free also. But there's, the blogs on there. There's newsletters. There's all different tools that they can utilize. And I also offer a free 15-minute consultation with me. So they just can go on the website and book that also. So, mm-hmm. And again, that's CoCreateYourSuccess.com.
Mm-hmm. So when you give this 15-minute assessment, do you just ask certain questions, or is it based on a questionnaire that you have people fill out? What do you do in order to kind of determine where a person is at?
It's just the 15 minutes is about letting them just tell me, what's going on for them, like their issues or what they feel like they're, what's maybe missing in their life or what they're trying to deal with. And then from there, I'll just recommend the different services or, webinar or workshops to go to.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you like to really work with women. And if it's one thing I've noticed about you, you're definitely a woman. So I guess that's a good thing. So, I mean, you really feel a strong sense to help women because, like you said, sometimes they're the peacekeepers. They're the ones that stifle themselves in order to make a certain situation peaceful or whatever they perceive.
Right, and they're the ones that usually are giving away so much of themselves and not taking care of themselves. I'm not opposed to working with men. I've worked with plenty of men.
Okay, right. We want to make that point, but I know.
But women tend to not take care of themselves.
Right.
And what I've really noticed, women that hit 40, from 40 in their 40s and early 50s, are looking for something different in their life. Mm-hmm. They know something's missing, or they've given everything to their family or to work or whatever, and they know it's time for them to do something for themselves, but they don't know how to go about it, or they just totally have lost their identity, their passion, their creativity. So I really help them get back in touch with them. Most of them are severely codependent, mm-hmm. or if not severely, moderate codependent. And so I help them break out of those old patterns, heal those patterns, so that they know how